Okay, so get this right. We're always like being told to watch our energy use, be mindful of our consumption. But what if I told you that even little things, like writing an email, it could have its own hidden energy cost?
It is interesting, isn't it? We rarely think about the energy footprint of just, well, us, of our own actions, especially something like writing. I mean, how much energy can that take, right?
Right, exactly. And that's what we're diving into today. This article, The Energy Footprint of Humans and Large Language Models by Carlos Baquero.
Oh, this is a good one.
He basically compares how much energy we use to, you know, these AI writing machines everyone's talking about.
Yeah, Baquero, he has a really interesting take on this whole AI energy use thing. I mean, we always hear about how much energy it takes to train these big language models, right?
Huge amount.
But he flips it around, makes you compare it to something we all get, our own energy footprint.
I'm guessing it's not even close.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, so let's break this down. He gets into the actual, like, energy math of writing, even uses those famous authors as examples. You know, like, how many words did Hemingway write per day? That kind of thing.
Yeah, he uses their daily word counts to like set a baseline. Almost like imagine Hemingway going head to head with an AI, a real energy efficient writing showdown.
Okay, I'm all for it. Who wins?
Get this, when you look at the energy used per word, AI can be way more efficient. And we're not talking a little bit, it's like orders of magnitude.
Really?
Yeah. Baquero's calculations show these models might use a tiny fraction of a watt hour for a bunch of text. Meanwhile, a human, just by living their life, going about their day, that's already way more energy before we even get to writing anything at all.
Whoa, okay. So it's not even just about the energy of like our fingers typing on the keyboard.
Nope.
It's everything we do just existing
Yeah.
that factors in, right?
Exactly. It's more than just the act of writing. It's the whole package of being human. Eating, sleeping, you know, walking around, writing those late night emails when you should be sleeping, everything.
Makes sense. But what about training these AIs in the first place? That initial energy cost has got to be massive, right?
Oh, absolutely. Baquero, he's not shying away from that. Training a large language model, it can use a lot of energy. Sometimes it's even comparable to like a person's entire lifetime electricity use.
Wow, okay. That is a lot. So even if AI is more efficient per word, the upfront cost is still a huge factor.
For sure, yeah. And that's where things get really interesting. It's not just about the numbers, it's about what these numbers mean, you know? What are the real implications of all this?
Right.
Maybe we can start digging into that now.
You know, it's funny, it's easy to get kind of caught up in this whole human versus AI thing, but it really makes you think bigger picture, you know?
Oh, for sure. And one thing that Baquero brings up, which I thought was really important, it matters where things are happening, geographically speaking. Like, it's not just human versus machine, it's where that human is, even where that AI is running.
Right, because we've been talking about like the energy footprint of a human,
Yeah.
but obviously someone living in, say, the US is using way more energy on average than, I don't know, someone in a less developed country, right?
Exactly. So that Hemingway versus AI writing contest we were picturing, it totally changes if Hemingway's plugged into the grid in New York City.
Right. Versus like him riding in some off-grid cabin with a hand crank generator. Ha ha.
Right. And then picture that AI humming away in some data center. But the data center is using all renewable energy, low carbon footprint, the whole deal.
Suddenly, AI is looking really good.
Exactly. It's not just the activity itself, it's this whole interconnected system.
It really makes you think about all those hidden connections we never consider, you know?
Totally. And Baquero, he doesn't go too deep into all the geographical stuff with AI, but he does ask this question. What if we put AI development in places with the greenest energy?
Oh, that's interesting. Like picking the most eco-friendly writer's retreat, but for AI. You know, as long as we're talking about the implications of all this. Are there any like ethical things that Baquero brings up? Like, should we be worried about relying too much on AI for writing?
Yeah, there's a really good point he makes. He's cautious about using AI just to like churn out more and more content for no real reason. He actually quotes Francois Chalais, who created Keras, that open source library. And Chalais argues that if we flood the world with low quality AI writing, it'll actually hurt research, hurt progress.
Like the quantity over quality backfiring on us.
Yeah.
And with AI, that could be on a whole other level.
Exactly. The point is to use AI to get better, to do more than we could alone, not just to do more.
Right. Like help us refine our ideas, spot things we missed, maybe even translate our work so more people can read it.
Yeah. Amplify what humans are good at, not try to replace it entirely.
It's like having a superpowered writing partner,
Yeah.
right? Okay, but let's flip this for a second. We're looking at it from the human perspective, energy use, all that. But is it even fair to put AI in this competition?
Oh, now that is a question. It's easy to fall into that trap of, like, we give AI human qualities without meaning to. But they're running on algorithms, data. They don't think about energy the way we do.
So when we talk about responsible use of AI, it's really on us, right? As the creators, as the ones giving it instructions.
100%. We can't just say, oh, the AI will figure out the ethics of it. We have to set those boundaries.
This has been such a fascinating conversation. Who knew that a simple question about how much energy it takes to write could lead to all of this?
I know, right? It really shows how everything's connected, technology, the choices we make, what it even means to be human in this whole AI world.
Totally. And we're just getting started, really. What happens as AI gets even more advanced?
I don't know, but I bet it'll be interesting.
That's for sure. Well, we've definitely given everyone a lot to think about today. But before we go too far down that road, I think we need to take a step back, recap a bit. And when we come back, we can dive into those other human activities we were brainstorming. Music, art, even cooking. Let's see how those stack up against AI in the Great Energy Showdown. Welcome back, everyone. It's amazing how we started with this simple question about the energy it takes to write, and we've gone down this whole rabbit hole of AI and what it means to be creative.
It really makes you think, huh?
For sure. And speaking of thinking, last time we were talking about all these other human activities we could look at through this energy lens, right? Like, what about music? How does AI songwriting shape up compared to, you know, a human composer?
It's definitely an interesting one. I mean, imagine an AI that can analyze every piece of music ever written. Finds all these hidden patterns, the structures, and then boom, it writes its own song way faster than any human could.
Okay, but then you have that whole other side of things, right? The human side, the emotion that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
A composer spends years practicing, honing their craft, getting inspired. How do you measure that in terms of energy?
You've hit the nail on the head there. It's like we're comparing, I don't know, apples and oranges. No, wait. It's more like comparing apples and algorithms.
Ooh, I like that.
One's quantifiable. You can measure the energy of data, processing power. But a human pouring their heart into art, that's something else entirely.
Apples and algorithms, it's perfect. Because it really gets at that fundamental difference. But, okay, does that mean AI has no place in the creative world? I'm not so sure about that.
No, me neither.
What if, instead of replacing us, it helps us? Like, imagine a composer working with an AI, trying out new sounds, new combinations they never would have thought of on their own.
Right. It's all about using AI the right way, like Baccaro was saying. Not to replace humans, but to make what we do even better.
Right. Empowering human creativity, not erasing it.
And it doesn't stop at music either. Think about architects designing buildings, doctors figuring out what's wrong with a patient, anything, really.
We always talk about the future of AI, but it feels like that future is already starting.
It is, and it's exciting.
A little bit scary, too, honestly.
Yeah, that too.
Like, how do we measure efficiency when we're talking about things like this? Where's the line between helping humans and replacing what makes us human?
Big questions.
And I think this is where what we learned from Baccaro is so important. It's not just about, ooh, cool new tech. It's about understanding the impact of that tech.
And making sure we're using it for good, not just because we can.
Well said. You know, it's been a journey today, from the energy cost of writing an email to, like, the future of art and humanity. It just goes to show you, you never know where a simple question might lead.
You said it.
That's all the time we have for today, everyone. But keep those deep dives going. Keep asking questions. We'll be back next time with another fascinating topic. Until then, take care.